Well, first of all, I want to welcome all the nations that are logging on and thank you for your support. If you find it in your heart to support us financially, there's a help button in there. It's called the PayPal button. Visit that page and they'll have instructions on how to sew into this. And we are a 501c3 organization, so we can send you a tax notification so that you can write it off on your taxes. So that's very important. I know that there's a lot of organizations out there that are just flying by the hip, but we actually are registered, signed, sealed, and qualified. So with that being said, nations, I want to thank you very much for logging on. We got some big nations that have been tapping in. China and Russia have been one of the big ones there. And I can understand because, listen, we got to know who God is. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of ministries, a lot of religions that are trying to confess God. But really what they are is just a list of rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. And I know I've been out with Shelly and we've been hearing around town, so to say, right, Shell, about there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no good or no bad. We're seeing this in the media now. And I think that's really awesome because I believe that they're listening, and I know that they're listening around the world. So if you're picking this up on mainstream, there's no right, no wrong. I mean, in the movies you're hearing this. There's no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, which is so true because we're going to go into it a little bit more tonight. We're going to have a speaker tonight, one of the pastors of this ministry, Tim Westerside, and he's going to give you some revelation on truth tonight, and which is really awesome because I'm speaking about repentance. And in order to understand true repentance, not the repentance that we know of in religion, not the repentance that the world tells us repentance is, but the way God wants us to understand repentance. God wants us to repent in the way of changing the way we're thinking. Not, I'm sorry, I'm bad, oh, I shouldn't have, would have, could have. No, that's the world. We don't live in the world. We live in what we call the kingdom of God, which is really a place of peace, a place of joy, and a place of righteousness, and not the righteousness of us being good, bad, right, or wrong, but the righteousness of God, really just following His law that's written on our hearts. And we'll keep explaining and directing you into the true living God, because none of us want to be deceived. None of us want to, you know, offer our hearts up and worship God and you know, seek His presence, so to say, and here we're finding false gods. We want the true living God. We want the God that is actually going to endure us with power, the one that's going to protect us and guide us and lead us and comfort us and give us that strength that we need to get through, you know, our everyday trials and battles, I would say, because every day we all have trials. How many of us have warfare and trials and temptations all day long and they don't stop? But when you have God in your heart and you understand who He is and that relationship by faith, because that's the God we serve, not the God over in Europe somewhere, not the God that's on some mountain, not the God of this tradition or this culture, but the God of the universe, which is the God of creation, which is the God of faith. And you need faith to believe in the living God, the God that changed my life and the power that changed my life. I went from, whoo, we won't even go there, to now someone who is like really on fire and has got a passion to reveal Him, so to say, because He's true in my heart and I know who He is and I can see Him through His creation and through His attributes. And the more you apply faith in trusting in God, the more He appears to you and you can see Him face to face. And I'm hoping and praying that God will start revealing Himself to you too. With that being said, I want to honor the nations that are logging on. And I'm going to call Rachel up when she's about ready. I think she's almost ready. And she's going to let you know who are the top nations right now that are actually logging on. And I'm really excited about the top nations. There are many nations. We're up to over, what, 90-something nations right now? Over about 90 nations right now that are logging on. But I want to speak about the top ones. More than top? Okay, well, I'm just going to turn it over to Rachel, and she's going to briefly let us know what's going on. Amen?
Okay, the top nations currently are, well, obviously the U.S., because we're in the U.S. But then, yeah, Russian Federation, and then China. That's, like, huge. Followed by Ukraine, Philippines, Great Britain, Italy, France, India, Netherlands, Germany, Japan, Thailand, and Turkey. That's a new one.
Turkey's
been around, like, here and there, but not up in the top.
In the top 10.
Right. That's kind of... And then we have Norway, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Romania, Azerbaijan, Vietnam, Nigeria, and South Africa. That's the top 25 countries currently logging onto our website.
Awesome.
The kind of thing I want to go back for a second and speak really fast is because when I first pulled this up tonight, I hadn't looked at it yet, and Pastor was standing right next to me, and I went, oh, geez, and he went, what happened? Well, I don't remember what we were on Sunday as far as our number count. I don't remember what the total was, but we're on February 10th, and it's still not the end of the day, and we have 135 visitors brand new to our website for this month.
For the month.
Wait, it gets better. In January, our website had gigabyte of bandwidth usage. We had about 4, bordering on 5, gigabytes. And for February, we're only in 10 days, we have 12.5 gigabytes.
It spiked
specifically on 2 messages, because we were just discussing this. It spiked on the messages called You Need God from January 27th and the one called Spirit of God from January 20th. Whatever it is, keep doing it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we want to give all the glory to God. We know that His Spirit is being poured out. And He says in the last days He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And I know this for a fact. Listen, I got nothing going on, and God just plucked me and He anointed me and brought me this message. And then He brought 4 other men to come alongside of me who's got a fire burning inside of them that only God can put in them. And so I know that He picked a simple guy like me and those 4 other guys to go. 4, right? 3. I'm sorry, total of 4. 3 plus a total of me. yeah, there's 4 of us all together. And I know for a fact that God is doing something very unique and special in these days. Now, many people, there's a controversy going on about, you know, the end of the world and all that. And I'm going to tell you, there are so many different revelations to that. You know, it's the end of the world when I found God. How's that one? Okay, the way I lived in one realm, I came into another realm. So it was the end of the world and I became born again. You know, I died and was resurrected. So you can interpret it many, many different ways. But let's get real, okay? It is a time of an age, and there are many ages, and we are coming from one age to another. And we are coming to an end of an age where I believe revelation deepens itself and the knowledge of God gets ever increased. And I believe that we are coming to a point of not knowing Him even more, because I know that there is like an invasion, so to say, about to take place where the Spirit of God is just going to invade earth and He's going to consume us with His love and He's going to change the world as we know it. You can hear it in the world. They want peace. They want love. Oh, hallelujah. So you can hear it in the hearts of the world. You can hear it. They don't want what's going on anymore. They want life. And the hustle and bustle and all this stuff, it has to come to an end. Because life as we know it, mankind can't handle it anymore. And so moving forward tonight, open up your heart. Open up your mind. Let the Spirit of God come in with revelation, because there's confusion out there. You're lost, as I was, and now I'm not. And I don't have to really change anything other than the way I'm thinking and the way my heart is and how my heart is not troubled anymore because I have a comforter. And that truth in itself has comforted me to live and to stay strong and to continue to move forward in the things that I need to continue to do. And one of it is I committed my life full time in this ministry, and right now I'm staying strong, moving forward in the call of God and giving out His message and His word. With that being said, I have great men alongside of me, and one of them tonight is here, and I'm going to introduce him now, Pastor Tim Westerside. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Tim Westerside. Amen.
All right.
See, he's as simple looking as I am.
That's true. Hey, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome everybody that's listening on the web, all around the world. My name is Tim Westerside. I'm a pastor here at Glory to the Nations, and I want to come to you tonight to speak about truth. Truth is so misguided and is a misconception about what truth is that I just feel led to speak about truth and try to bring you into a deeper understanding of what really truth is within every one of us. Truth is different among every single person in this world. And truth is always being compromised by two different things. One is our thoughts. Two is outside influences that are around us. What is truth? Truth is a strong belief or a strong confidence in your conviction, because conviction is truth. But it can only become truth when it is first tried and tested. There's many people out there. There was Socrates, Plato, all these different philosophers, but they had an opinion and they had a philosophy, but it was never proven to become fact, become truth. There's a difference between philosophies and between philosophies and conviction. Conviction comes from our heart. Conviction is there, put by God. It's a it's an unction. It's an inspiration. And when you follow that conviction, it becomes fact. It becomes a well-grounded, strong influence that you can't be shaken. But what's happening is, there's so much confusion out there. Take, for instance, in the world, you have people that are psychiatrists. And people are going to psychiatrists, and they're sitting on a chair, and they're saying, oh, I got this problem, I got that problem, I don't know what to do with this, I don't know what to do with that. You know why? Because of all the chatter and all the influences around them, they can't follow their heart. There's not, the conviction's there, but they're not listening to it. And we're here in this ministry to bring a revelation knowledge of your conviction in your heart so that you know that you know that you know that you have God within you and you can follow and trust Him and you won't get burnt. And one thing I'm going to say is I'm going to take Jesus as an example. We all, in this ministry, Jesus laid an example for us in this way. He followed the conviction of His heart. He was well-grounded in truth, and that's how he knew he had a relationship with God. When he was a little boy, he was always going into the synagogues and the temples to listen to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, so he's being taught by these people. And what happened was he gained all this knowledge about the Hebrew religion. He gained all the knowledge about God through the scriptures of the Torah and everything else. But what happened was he had a strong conviction to want to know God even higher than religion. And he said, you know what? I just want to know who God is. So what he did was, when he got a little bit older, it says in the Bible that he actually was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tried and tested by Satan. Now, Satan, we all believe, is this little guy that's running around tempting us and everything. But Satan really, if you really analyze Satan, it's reasoning. It's a reason. It's coming against the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God is what's within our heart. It's that truth. So when he was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit, he was tried and tested by by Satan, and he was brought up to the mountain place, and he said, if you throw yourself down, you know, let the angels catch you. If you stub your foot on a rock, you know, all these different temptations that went on. But what he did was he relied on the truth. He relied on that conviction that was within him. And when he came out of that desert place, he was endued with power. There was power of that truth that he believed in. He came out of that place that he was in where he was tested, and he tried his faith and his conviction, and he came out with power because he could stand through anything then. See, when you go through life and you have a conviction, you're going to have friends that are around you that say, you know what? What you're doing, I don't agree with it. Are you strong enough to say, well, I believe in it, I'm going to continue to do it? Do you have that conviction within you to say, you know what, despite the fact of what maybe the economy's doing, you know, maybe you're an investor and you want to invest money into something. Are you willing to still take that risk through faith and keep that money in there and say, you know what, there's a conviction in with me and I'm gonna stick to it and see where it leads me to go? Or are you going to listen to everybody else telling you, hey, you can't do that, or you know what, I wouldn't do it, it's a bad time? What are you going to listen to? There's a lot of thoughts that are within our head that will actually steal our conviction and our truth. And I see it all the time. For instance, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, back in the Old Testament. During that time, Nebuchadnezzar was king. And he basically seized all of Israel and brought them into bondage, into slavery. And he conformed all their beliefs. They were Israelites. They followed the Hebrew religion. They followed God of creation. And he brought them into a different knowledge of God and different customs and everything. But they said, you know what? There's a conviction within us that we're going to follow the God that we know. And they stuck to their guns. And they were persecuted by it. Nebuchadnezzar actually threw them into a fiery furnace. But they were willing to die for what they believed. They were willing to die for the conviction that they had within them. And you know what? When they got into the fiery furnace because of the conviction that they held through that faith, Jesus, it says that the angel of God, which we all believe is God anyways, he went into the fiery furnace and they did not get burnt. There was actually another person inside that furnace with them because of the conviction and the faith that they stood by. I mean, that's the truth that we're trying to convey to the whole world, is that, you know, when we speak about faith, you know, you have to have that confidence and that knowing that you know that you know, that you believe within your heart everything that your heart entails. Could be dreams, could be visions, it could be an unction, it could be a conviction. You have to believe in it. If you start to reason with it, you're going to start believing the lies. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Why? Because he puts so many different messages in your mind that takes away what you believe in your heart. I mean, let's face it. How many people daily battle against their mind? I mean, I'm one of them. I mean, there's times where I'm driving to work and I'm led to go to a certain shop, because I'm a salesman, and all of a sudden, fear comes in, reasoning comes in, distractions start to come in. Well, do you think that's of God? It's not. It's not, because it's going against what I was led to do. That conviction and that unction is the truth, and it's telling me to go to a certain place. I have to follow that because God has a plan that's prepared for us, and that's the way. God says, you know, I prepared a way for you to go, and, you know, we know what our footsteps are, but he guides our footsteps. We don't actually know how it's going to turn out until we start to follow it. And if we don't follow that conviction, guess what? It's not going to come out the way we even reasoned it. So reasoning steals that conviction that's within us. And going back to Jesus again, you know, having him know all the different customs, he knew all the Hebrew laws, he studied, was a scholar of the scriptures, he sat was taught by the Sadducees, by masters, all these different people. But he followed and obeyed his conviction, and he knew God, and that's what made him the Son of God. So when he stood before Pontius Pilate, the Sadducees and the Hebrew Pharisees, they wanted to kill him. They said, look, this guy is basically taking away us from the people. You know, we're here, we're important, but by him coming in with this new doctrine of you don't really need the Sadducees and Pharisees, but you can follow your heart to know God, and God, you know, God lives within you, and your body's a temple, and all this, they wanted to do away with him because it was going to steal what their glory was. So when they brought him before Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Because he wanted to know, what is truth? Now, mind you, Pontius Pilate's wife the night before had a dream about Jesus. She said, "The guy that's coming in here that you're going to put to death, let him go. He's an innocent man. You don't even want to touch him. You want to let him go." He didn't obey it because there was so much peer pressure from the Hebrew Pharisees and Sadducees. They kept saying, "Look, this guy disobeyed the law." What law was it? It was their law that they created. Okay? He was calling himself Son of God, and that was going against what they were telling everybody, that you know you must go through us to have a relationship with God. So they were kind of trying to do away with him by saying, "Look, you know, let's put this guy to death because he's breaking our laws." But you know what? He fulfilled every law according to the Torah and the scriptures and everything. He fulfilled it all, but he went to a higher level because now he took the law, and the law was now written on his heart, and he had a relationship with God through the law in his heart, which is that conviction. And that's why he was a man of truth. It says the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. That's our whole motto of our meeting here every weekend. You know, when we speak to you on the web, our whole predication is worship God in spirit and in truth. And we stand by it by faith and all of our hopes. And we preach in power and not persuasive words. I'm not here to convince you any other way except that you need to have a conviction of truth within you to know who God is. Because that's where God indwells, is within your heart. So going back to Pontius Pilate, when he said, "What is truth?" He saw that Jesus was basically just like them. He fulfilled all their different laws, but he said, "There's something different about this man. How can I put this guy to death? He didn't do anything wrong. This guy's innocent. He's innocent because he was obeying his heart, and all he did was stand for his own truth." And that's what we're supposed to do today. That's why we say we follow Jesus, is because we're to convey the same thing he did. You know, As a believer in God and having a relationship with God, I emulate Jesus because I follow truth. I follow my convictions. To me, that's the gospel. That's the good news that the Bible was always trying to convey through the scriptures of, like, Peter, John, Paul, Romans. That's the good news. It's the way of living a relationship with God, is this truth that we're talking about today. It's following a conviction, because your conviction is different from my conviction. But when we come together, we come together as one. And I'm here to encourage you to walk in your convictions and believe in it, knowing that God is inside of you and has a relationship with you. And it's established in the truth. You know, I can say, "Pastor, he's forsaken everything to bring this truth to you in the world. He's given up everything so that he can preach this gospel, preach this truth, because there's a conviction that's laid on his heart. He's got a passion to want to see people healed, delivered, and set free from what? From yourself. From all those imaginations, all those troubled hearts that we all have because we're confused, because we don't know how to follow the conviction. He's here to bring us the truth so that it will set us free. Because it says, you hear the truth will set you free. And this is the truth. If I don't follow my conviction, guess what? I'm in torment because now I feel guilty, I feel condemnation, and I have shame because I know I should have followed my heart. When I was a little kid, I had a belief that I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And you know what? I believed it with all my heart. I had people telling me, "Oh, Tim, you'll never make it. The odds are set against you." But you know what? I didn't care. I didn't want to listen to them. I practiced every day. I loved playing the game. I developed different habits of trying to play the game. And when I was a kid, I could throw a fastball because I was a pitcher, and I knew I could throw it by you. But as I got to a little bit of a higher level, as I got older, I said, you know what, I got to develop another pitch. So I started working on a curveball. And then with the curveball, I was able to advance to another level because I had two different pitches. But working on it and practicing, and then transforming it to a game is two different things, because I can practice throwing a curveball, but if I don't have the confidence to go and use it in a game, then it's not truth. I don't have a curveball. All I have is practice. But if I go and try to use it in a game and I start using it and I'm using it and guys can't hit the curveball, guess what? Now I can have a fastball and a curveball and it becomes truth. So then when I went to another level, when I got into high school, I developed a third pitch, because what happened was the better hitters start to sit on your fastball. Guys can start to hit the curveball. So I had to come up with another pitch, was a split finger fastball, which actually hung and then dipped. So I started developing that during practice, and I said, you know what? I got to try to use this in the game. So I started pitching it in the game, and it started working, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I had three pitches. So when I said before that truth isn't truth until it's tested and tried, I had to test and try everything that I learned in order to make it a revelation and a knowledge and a truth within inside of me. To make a long story short, I didn't make the pros, but I gave it my all. And the only reason why is I got hurt. I hurt my shoulder back in high school, and it prevented me from going. But I tell you what, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I know if I would have made professional baseball, I wouldn't know God who God is today. Because I would think I did everything myself. I would be so prideful and so full of pride and ego that I would have never came to know who God is today. And he had to humble me, you know. But he still put that conviction with me, and I can hold up holy hands to God and say, you know what, God, I did all I can do. You know, you put the conviction in me, I followed it, you changed it. Because God will change your conviction. There's plenty of people that have different convictions, and all of a sudden, your heart or conviction changes. You need to follow and go with the flow. If you try to fight it and stay in that same conviction, you know what? It's going to hurt you. It's going to bypass you. I've seen plenty of my friends out there that I'm friends with. They'll have a conviction to do something, and they'll start to walk in it, and all of a sudden, that door closes. And there's a conviction to do something else, but they'll ignore that new conviction and they'll stay in the same conviction that the door closed, and they're just knocking on that door. They can't force it. They can't get it in, and they end up getting hurt. That's why you need us. That's why you need this ministry. We're here to help you and to guide you to follow the convictions and to follow what we call the voice of God, because the voice of God is within all of our hearts. And the voice of God is the ability to listen to it and to follow it, because the voice of God sometimes changes. It's part of life, because life changes constantly. And we need to hear God's voice in order to change with the times and change with life. If we stay stagnant, we're going to get hurt, and we're going to have pain, we're going to have suffering, and we're going to have a lot of questions that aren't answered. I mean, I was one of them. When I didn't have a relationship with God because I was ignorant at the time, I had a lot of why questions. I'm like, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? And what I can honestly say is, when I came into this ministry, Pastor Jim was one of the men that pulled me aside and mentored me for many years and was helping me to answer those why questions. Because we all have questions of why this, why that. And it's not a bad thing that you have why questions. It's a good thing. Because God wants to answer every single question if you're open to it. But you got to have an open heart, and you got to be able to willing to sit there and listen and accept the truth. Because when you hear the truth and you accept it, the truth will set you free. And then you can move on to the next journey in life. And that's what happened for me. I mean, I had one time I had a restaurant business, and basically I lost everything. And I didn't have a job at the time. And when I came in here, I met with Pastor Jim. He guided me, he got me back up on my feet, told me I needed to go this place and that place, because he saw things in my life that I couldn't see for myself. And he wasn't there to hurt me, but it was there to help me so that I can stand on my own two feet. And the more that I accepted it and received what he was telling me, he gave me a little bit more slack. He's like, you know what? He's getting it. He's starting to follow his heart. And he said, you know what? I want him to stand on his 2 feet. And when I became mature enough, he didn't have to sit there and pour into me all the time. He's like, you know what? Let him chew on what I just taught him and what I showed him. And let's see how he matures in this. And let's see what happens later in life. Is he going to have stability and truth? Or is he going to revert back to the old ways of just listening to all the reasonings and the imaginations? But thank God, the truth that he poured into me has found a grounded root inside of my heart. And I'm able to stand on my own 2 feet because I'm standing here today speaking to you. And it's because of the truth that we stand for in this ministry. You know, God wants to impart in everybody's life his way, his truth, because there's a conviction that's within us. And if we ignore that conviction, we're ignoring him. Because God is that truth. He is that conviction. And, you know, Jesus was made the Son of God because he obeyed it. And God says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, obedience to what? Obedience to the conviction that he lays inside of your heart. You know, it's easy to sacrifice to maybe obligations, because there's everybody feels obligated out there, you know, because their heart's telling them to do something, but they're feeling obligated to listen to somebody else or to listen to those reasonings. God's saying, ignore that stuff. That's not me. That's not a relationship with me. My relationship's within your heart. It's within that conviction, and that's the truth. And when you can find that and you can follow that, that results in peace, joy, and righteousness. Because inside you feel clean. You feel like, yeah, you know what? I'm not dirty. And then you have a peace because you're doing something that you really want to do. There's a passion there. And then you have joy. You know, that's what God really wants for everybody. You know, he says there's a promised land for everyone. And the promised land was within everybody's heart. It's not in our minds. You know, because in our minds, I know in my mind there's torment, and I'm constantly trying to block it off because I'm trying to listen to this, because I know this is the promised land. You know, I have passions, I have desires, I have hopes that I'm walking in some of them, and there's some that are yet to be fulfilled. But that's the excitement about life, is identifying with those passions and those hopes and waiting patiently sometimes for them to come to pass. You know, because in life there's so many different turns and obstacles that we have to overcome. But you know who overcomes them? God. When we can follow our heart and we can follow our compassion, he fights for us. He leads us. You know, he starts to open doors where the doors didn't seem to ever be open. You know, I remember, you know, before I was even married, I wanted to get married for the longest time. And I remember I was always in torment because I was always trying to find this woman that was in my heart. And pastor would always say, you know what, Tim, you got to find rest. You got to be able to just know that you have a conviction within you. You have a desire for a wife, but you got to rest in it knowing that God's going to bring her to pass in his time. But if you constantly look for it, you constantly worry about it, you constantly are trying to seek it out, it ain't going to come to pass until you rest. Well, thank God I listened to him. It was probably about 7-8 years after he told me that I finally found rest. But I swear to God, immediately when I did it, I met my wife. It was like a miracle. But God opened the door because he was waiting on me to trust him, to listen to the conviction and listen to the truth that was in with my heart. You know, it was all there, but my mind was constantly lying to me saying, if you don't look for it, you're not going to find it. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. The other thing was, you know, you're getting too old, Tim. You got to find her now because, you know, you're getting up there in age and, you know, you want to have kids and, you know, that's all a bunch of lie. I know there's somebody on there listening tonight that may not be married yet. You just got to trust God and find rest and he'll bring her to pass, or he'll bring that person into your life. Guarantee it. I'm a walking testimony. I have 2 kids now. They're both, one's 6 and one's 4. I was told by doctors when I was younger I could never have kids, but I have 2 kids now. That's a miracle sign and a wonder. And you know why? It's because I'm walking with God. God brought them to pass. Not any doctor, not any science. It was because I trusted in God. I followed my conviction. I waited upon the Lord, and look what he did for me in my life. And that's what he can do for you. If you trust God and you find the truth within you that God is through that conviction, he will do miracles, signs, and wonders. But it takes faith. You got to have strong confidence and belief in your conviction, or it's not going to come to pass. I'm sorry. You know, because a lot of people, I've seen people say, oh, I got faith. You know, I got hope. I got this. But nothing ever happens in their life. You know why? Because they're misconstrued because of the reasoning. They're listening to all that imaginations and chatter that's false instead of listening to the truth that's within. Because if you listen to the truth within, God is with you and you have a relationship with the true and living God. And that's who we're talking about every Sunday, every Wednesday night. We talk about the true and living God here. Because you know what? It's evident in Pastor's life. It's evident in my life. It's evident in Pastor Sam and Pastor Kurt, the men and women in this ministry. We follow God. We have a passion, but we're not religious fanatics about it. If you met me on the street, you wouldn't even know that God, you wouldn't even know that I followed God. But if you got time to take to know me, you would see God in me. You would see God around me. It's not me out there talking about it, but when we say we preach it, it's because we live it. We live the truth. We live with him. We live with that truth and conviction every single day, and that's how people will know that God is with you. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to call up Pastor Jim again, and I think he has some more for you tonight.
Amen. Yeah, brother. Awesome. I'm going to say wow. Wow, amen? Was that awesome or what? Wow, thank you, brother. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for him. You know, it is so true, and I thank God for the message that he brought forth tonight because of the fact that it is the truth that is inside of us, and that is truly God. His word is written on our heart, that is his commandments, and that's what we need to follow. To be able to be taught this and to be able to learn how to pull down your imaginations, to chatter, as he said, in your minds, to be able to control that and cast down those imaginations and the reasonings and the doubts and that steal your conviction from your heart, that is so powerful, and it's the greatest keys that anyone can ever offer, and we have the keys here to show you how to do it. So please keep logging on. And this is really a foundation of where we're heading, because we're heading right now into repentance. And, you know, you need to understand the conviction in your heart in order to come to a place of repentance, because that conviction will show you that you're doing something wrong. That conviction will show you that you need to stop doing it or to do it. That conviction will show you how to repent in God's eyes, which will give you righteousness. It's not about good works. Repentance has nothing to do with, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad, oh, please forgive me. It has nothing to do with condemnation. It has everything to do with conviction. It's just a matter of following that unction in your heart, and we'll get into it about the unction, which is we call the anointing. And it's very important to be anointed this time and this time of it, of the age, so to say, so that you can be endured with power. And we need power, not the power of this world, but we need supernatural, divine intervention power. We need this power so that we can come to a better life, not the life that we live like Groundhog Day over and over, the life of insanity, you know, wake up and go to bed, and wake up and go to bed, and then have to war with all the nonsense. But to be able to have a joy and a peace and be able to rest in the moment and be happy and joyful and have a confidence to know that when we do pass on to this life, we go to a better life. How many people realize that there's life after death? Amen. Well, there are some people out there that don't believe life after death. And I'm going to say, shame on you. I will have to put a shame on you on this one, because if you're going to be that naive about life after death, why do we have a spirit? Why is it that our life in us actually functions? Why does our body move around? You take the spirit out of me, you know, and I bleed out, and my spirit leaves my body. What do you think? The spirit just goes into the ground and never comes back out? Or better yet, go into some flower? Or better yet, go into some animal? Come on now, let's wake up. Let's be real.
For real. Let's be for real. So I want everyone to understand that if you are listening, we're not going to steer you wrong. We're going to just bring you to the revelation of who God really is, where he dwells, and you can have a wonderful life with him. I always say you're dead without God. You cannot live without God. And there are many people out there that are trying to find a life without God. You're going to struggle. You're literally going to struggle. You know what you're going to end up doing? You're going to lean on everybody else. You're going to want to beg, borrow, and steal from everybody else. And then eventually, you know, you might have a few there that'll hang on and feel that same obligation that I have to support this person. But eventually, they're going to burn out. They're going to pass away. They're going to burn out. And then you're going to have nobody. God gives you a life, and you lean on God, and God gives you what you need. He'll supply your needs according to his riches and glory. And that riches and glory is what's written on your heart. That riches and glory is what's inside of each and every one of us. All of us have a treasure house. All of us have a wealth of treasure inside of us. And it has the abilities to accomplish great and mighty things. We just have to get in it. We have to tap into it. And then God will provide everything that we need in order for us to enjoy a life. We didn't just pop out of our mother's womb, okay, to go float around. There's a purpose that God has for each and every one of us. And that purpose is actually inside of us. It's a book. A book is written. And your name's on it, and it's inside. I want to dig that book up. I want to dig it up. I want to resurrect it. I want to wipe the dust off of it, and I want to open it up. And I want you to have the eyes to read it. I want you to have the ears to hear it. I want you to be able to read it, hear it, and live it so that you can have a smile on your face and a glory that it raises, and then actually you'll be functionable in this world, so to say. So with that being said, I'm going to end it. I want to thank all the nations that are logging on. I want to give another super thanks for Pastor Tim to make it out here tonight and share that awesome message about truth, because it truly is a foundation of repentance. We need to understand what's here in order for us to repent. We have to understand this in order to know what God wants from us so that we can change from our ways. Our ways aren't right. If we think we're living right, we're not. Unless we are living here. And if we're living here, then we're living right. That's right. We can have fake peace, joy, and righteousness. I can go to the bar, I can play around, I can do all the fun stuff that the world has. But you know what? That lasts when the dollar's over. when the last dime is spent, or when the last beer is drank, the last Quaalude's eaten. It's over when it's over. And then you're sad. Well, how would you like to be happy when it's over and you're still happy? So with that being said, I want to say thank you, everybody. Log on again Wednesday nights. We have Sunday mornings. If you'd like to come here, our address is on our website, glorytothenations.org. Come visit us. You'll see that this place is like a barn out in the woods. It's kind of like a spirit-led place where you got to find it by the spirit. But you know what? God will lead you and direct you. Amen? God bless. Amen. Oh, yeah. By the way, Pastor Tim says we want to hear from you. So we want some feedback. Those that are listening, email, send us a letter. I know that we've gotten some. We have interpreted it, and we sent replies back. And I want to thank you for those that, you know, gave us thumbs up and everything else. I want to thank all those that like what they're hearing. I can tell by our numbers. Continue to tell new friends, because first-time visitors are spiking up there really high. We're going viral, and that's really awesome because of you. And because of you and you're telling others, the Spirit of God can open up the eyes of those that are, blinded. I want to say the deaf are now starting to hear, and the lame are starting to walk. So I like to see the power of God move in your life and also in others. And as you continue to give this message out and you tell a friend and they tell two friends, God knows what you're doing, and he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you tremendous. So if you do anything, grab a hold of God's blessing and share this message. Amen? Amen. I want to say good night and talk to you soon. Bye.